that God can change you. Aren't you glad that you don't have to stay the same? What a blessing. I'm glad God changed me. And you know what? If He's never changed you, He can change you. But you know, the truth of it is, He changed me initially when I was saved, but I've been changing ever since. And that's what spiritual growth is all about. It's about growing and changing, being different than what I am and who I am by nature. Turn to your Bibles, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter number 33. The Bible is a unique book. There's no other book like it. The book you hold in your hand is the only book that's been authored by God Himself. Now, men, of course, wrote down its words. But I need to remind myself that while Isaiah may have been the writer of Isaiah and John may have been the writer of John, God is the author. That's why it's one book. It's 66 books that make up one matchless, marvelous, miraculous book called the Bible. Jesus said, the Lord said, it is a book of truth, that it's the truth. He said, Thy word is truth. So it's a book that's been authored by God. We know that the contents of the Bible is absolute truth and that I can depend on it. But here I'm going to take you a step further. Note the logic, all right? It's a book authored by God. It's a book of truth. But now watch this. It is a truth, and it follows after the song, and I had no idea they would go together. It is a book that transforms. You see, the Bible contains truth. It is truth that transforms. There are transforming truths in the Word of God. And you're going to meet a man by the name of Jeremiah, and he learned a transforming truth, all right? And I want you to find it in verse number 3 of Jeremiah 33. Earlier this week, God brought me to this verse, reminded me of some things, and I want to share it with you this morning. Look, if you would, verse number 3. Notice the Bible said probably one of the best known verses about prayer found anywhere in the Word of God. Notice He said, "Call unto Me, and I will answer thee." Those are wonderful truths, aren't they? "Call unto Me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Now, you know what? I hear a cliche all the time. I see it written on things. I hear people say it. Most of the time, they'll say it like this. Well, prayer changes things. Prayer always changes things. It's a cliche. You know, I've been saved for over 35 years. I've been pastoring for 29 years. And I'm just going to be honest with you. There are things that I've prayed for and those things didn't change. Have you ever found that to be true? Sure. That's a cliche. All right. What I mean by that is it's just a little saying that people say, but it's not necessarily true. All right. Prayer doesn't always change things. But here is a truth that Jeremiah learned and what you and I need to learn. Prayer always changes me. That's what I want to learn. Because things may not always change. It may not be that things need to change. It may be I need to change. You need to change. And prayer changes me. It is a spiritual exercise that brings dynamic change to our lives because prayer brings us in contact with the God of truth that can change our lives. Amen? I want to preach to you about the transforming truth about prayer. Let's pray together and ask God to help us this morning. Father, as we bow before You today, I pray that the Spirit of God would guide our thoughts afresh and new to a verse that we have memorized, we've heard it many times, been preached on many times. And I pray, Lord, that today that there would be fresh truth, there would be a nugget, Lord, that would be life-changing in each of our lives as it relates to this matter of prayer. Lord, prayer brings us in contact with the God of the universe. And Lord, what a mighty resource prayer is in our lives. And Father, I thank You for what You do in our lives through this matter, this thing called prayer. And Lord, that You've given us a voice. You've given us a mind. You've given us a way that we can know You, but also to communicate with You. And then, Lord, You've communicated back to us through Your Word. Teach us today about the transforming truth of prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, Jeremiah is commanded by God to pray. Matter of fact, you're going to find it's an interesting situation and circumstance in his life. And the first truth that I'm going to notice from this verse is that God invites us to pray. There is an invitation to prayer. Notice, if you would, verse number 3, the Bible said, "Call unto me." Christian, God desires for you and I to pray. Now, you know what? We ought to desire to pray. Amen? It ought to be within us a desire to pray and talk to God. But the reality of it is, it's not just that you and I need to desire to pray. God desires us to pray. God wants me to talk to Him. God wants you to talk to Him. God wants you and I to call upon Him, to talk to Him, to go to Him in this matter of prayer and talk to the God of heaven. And I want you to think with me for a moment about who's inviting you to pray. Would you look in verse number 2? The Bible said, "Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is His name." Now I want you to get something. The sovereign God of the universe, the maker of heaven and earth, is inviting you, He's inviting me, to talk to Him, to commune with Him, to fellowship with Him. God said, "I want you to pray." Listen, friend, God is calling us, He is inviting us to pray, and it is an invitation that you and I dare not refuse. Matter of fact, it's an invitation that no parent should refuse for their child. It's an invitation that no spouse dare refuse for their marriage. Friend, listen, you know that you and I ought to bathe our marriage in prayer. Listen, our families desire and need our prayers. We ought to bathe our families in prayer. No saint dare refuse that invitation for their church, for our nation. Friend, listen, God is inviting you and me to come to the very sovereign God of the universe, the maker of heaven and earth, the creator. And He's saying, "Listen, I want you to talk to me." Can you imagine that? Isn't that amazing? Probably in our lives, few of us will ever talk to people of great fame in this world. Listen, the only person I know that can do that is Brother Delp. I mean, listen, we travel through airports. This guy can find more celebrities than anybody I've ever seen in my life. We're in Chicago, Illinois, sitting in an airport. I just want to go home, okay? Brother Delp is like a hunter after a deer. I mean, he's got the looking around, zones in on some NBA player. I mean, he didn't want to be noticed. Sunglasses, hood. I mean, you know, I don't know if it's quite that way. He didn't want to be noticed. Brother Delp noticed him. I mean, he doesn't even have a basketball card. Do they make basketball cards? I got baseball cards. He probably don't even have one. I mean, nobody even knows who he is, all right? Brother Delp said, next thing I know, he's there standing with a total stranger having a selfie made. And I'm like, "What are you doing, man? You've lost your mind." You know, and that's not just one time. That's multiple times he finds these people walking through the airport. I mean, he can just snoop them out, you know. And I never meet anybody famous, you know. Isn't that amazing? What about you? But some people have that knack. But chances are I'm never going to get to speak to the governor or the president or anybody like that. Probably never shake their hand. But now I want you to remind you of something. Friend, every day you and I can talk to the greatest person in all of the universe. We can talk to God. God wants you to come to Him. That's life-changing in itself, that God wants me to talk to Him. Isn't that amazing? God not only desires that I pray, but I want you to know, Christian, He demands you pray. Look what He says in verse number 3 again, "Call unto me." That is a divine imperative. That's not just a suggestion, it's a command. God's not saying, "I think it'd be really good for you if you prayed." No, God's saying, "I want you to pray. Better than that, I demand you pray. I'm commanding you to pray." Because God knows that prayer changes our lives. Because it brings us in contact with the God that can change our lives. And so He comes to Jeremiah and He says, "Call unto me." Great preacher of the past said, "You can do more than pray after you've prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed." Friend, listen, we still feel so let down. We'll say, "Well, what can I do for you?" And they'll say, "Well, I really don't need anything. Just pray for me. I'd really like to help you out. Is there anything I can do for you?" "No, really, I don't need anything. Would you just pray?" Friend, listen to me. Listen, we feel let down when somebody said, "Just pray for me." But wait a minute. I have the privilege of going to God, the God of heaven. Not only can change my life, but change their life. And I can talk to Him about them. There's nothing greater that I can do for somebody else than to pray. Wouldn't you agree with that this morning? Aren't you glad we can pray? Church, prayerlessness is not just a shame, it's a sin. 1 Samuel 12:23, Samuel said, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid, perish the thought that I should sin in ceasing to pray for you." You see, God desires that we pray. He invites us to pray. He asks us to call upon Him, to come to Him, to commune with Him. But not only does He desire it, but He demands it. God, that word call is not a suggestion, as I said. He's not requesting. He's saying, "I demand, I command you to pray. I want you to come to me in prayer." But now wait a minute, there are times that God drives us to pray. Have you ever noticed that? That's where Jeremiah is at. Matter of fact, Jeremiah, when this verse, this one of the best known verses in the Bible on prayer, when it comes to him, when God speaks to him and he writes it down, do you realize he's not on the mountaintop, that he's actually in the valley? Matter of fact, you're going to find that he's in the prison. Look at verse number 1. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison." Now, you know what? Jeremiah wasn't in prison because he did something wrong. He was in prison because he was doing something right. He was standing for God. He was preaching the word of God. He was commanding the nation and giving them what God was saying. And as a result of that, the king and the aristocracy of Israel had gotten angry with him and they had thrown him in prison. And there he was in a dark, dirty dungeon. And God says, "Jeremiah, I've got you where I want you. Now I want you to pray. I want you to pray." Do you know there are seasons of life that God puts us in places to help us to pray? You ever notice that a lot of times when we get on the mountaintop of life and everything's going good, we really don't pray like we ought to pray. But can I remind us, I need God on the mountaintop just as much as I do when I'm in the valley. Did you know that? And you know what? If I don't have a prayer life on the mountaintop, I'm going to really struggle when I get into the valleys of life. And I believe that's why God commands that we pray and invites us to prayer and to develop a communing prayer life with God. Because there's going to be times in our life when God drives us to the place of prayer. One of our presidents during a great time of difficulty in our nation, he said, "I have been at times overwhelmed with the sense that I had nowhere else to go but to my knees in prayer to God." Have you ever felt that way? You ever thought that maybe God allows us to go there at times because it's during those times that it brings us to a greater dependence upon Him? It's during those times that we stop going through the motions of prayer and we begin to really pray and talk to the God of heaven. God said, "Call unto me." Think about it. Friend, listen, we're calling on God. "O thou that answerest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come." And it's amazing that when we have a problem, we talk to everybody else first. We go to the ladies in the office or the fellows down in the break room or on the job site or wherever, and we're looking for answers. We're looking for advice. We're looking for direction. And we go everywhere else. And God said, "What about me?" Friend, listen, God is not our last resource. He is our last resort. He is our first resource. And we need to go to Him in prayer. He didn't say, "Call unto me if it's important or if it's serious or if things get to the point you can't handle it." No, we can come to God at any time, at any place, about anything. There are no restrictions on prayer. Friend, listen, nobody can hinder me from praying. I can call on God anywhere, anytime, anything. Listen, there is an invitation to pray. And God said, "Call unto me." Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you seriously called on God? How's your prayer life today? But not only do I see an invitation to pray, I see an invitation of prayer. An anticipation of prayer. You know, whenever I pray, I ought to expect God to answer, because you know what God promised to do? He promised to answer prayer. Look at verse number 3. He said, "Call unto me and I will." He didn't say, "I might." He didn't say, "I could." He didn't say, "I may." He said, "I will answer thee." Did you see that? God not only hears our prayers, He said, "I'm going to answer your prayers." I'm glad God answers prayer. O thou that answerest prayer. Do you realize there are people all over the world today that bow before idols? of gold and silver and wood, and they cry their heart out to it, and they bow before it, and they feed that idol, and they love that idol, and they pray, but it never does anything for them. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? But friend, the living God said, call unto me, and I'm going to answer you. Do you know we have a God who answers prayer today? We have a God who answers prayer. You say, preacher, does God always answer prayer? Somebody said the only prayer that God never answers is the prayer never prayed. You ever had somebody say, well, there's no dumb questions? I'm not sure it's always true because I probably asked a few. After I ask it, I'm thinking, boy, that was a dumb question. You ever been that way? Or am I the only one? You know? Why'd I ask that? You know? And stuff like that. But anyway, the reality is, you say, preacher, can you pray wrong? I don't know that you can pray wrong. I think what it is, sometimes we pray with the wrong motive. But I don't know that prayer in its simplicity, that there's a wrong way to pray, if that makes sense. And you say, preacher, why is that? Because prayer is not a matter of a servant coming to a king. It's not. Now, our God is a king today. Would we all agree with that? Our God's a king. But it's not that. It's not a slave going to a master. It's not that at all. It's a child going to its parent or its father. And let me ask you a question. Is your child... Now, listen. Children may have had the wrong motive, right? But is there really a wrong way for a child to come to their parent? Now, I understand attitude and all that, but you understand what I mean by that. You know, they ask for things. And you know what? Let me just say something. You don't have to be saved for 30 years and know every verse in the Bible on prayer and the great theology and the great doctrines of prayer to have a wonderful prayer life with God. You can be newly saved, hardly know anything about God and the Bible, and have a wonderful prayer life because you just want to talk to your Father. Because prayer in its simplicity is a child coming to their Father. Now, I believe that our prayer life gets deeper, it gets broader, it becomes more meaningful, it becomes more effectual and effective. The longer I'm saved, the more I grow, the greater knowledge and understanding that I have of God. And with anything, the more you do something, the more effective you become at it. And there are people who are great prayer warriors that get answers from God, and they've spent years and years and years developing their walk with God. But now, wait a minute. I don't know that there's anything. And that's wonderful, and I think that's what we need to strive for. But you know what? There's nothing sweeter than the words of a child to its parent. And listen, there may be prayers that are wiser. There may be prayers that are deeper. There may be prayers that are broader. But friend, can I tell you, there's no prayer sweeter than you talking to your heavenly Father. And God invites you to call upon Him and has promised to answer your prayer. The Bible said, we have not because we ask not. Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, to him that knocketh it shall be opened unto you. Throughout the Bible there is promise after promise after promise of this matter of prayer. And prayer is not so much of getting what I want on earth, what I want in heaven, as it is getting what God desires done on earth. And friend, when you and I can understand who God is and that He wants to accomplish, it enables us to pray more effectively and to seek God in our life and the lives of others. Friend, listen, God desires that we pray, and He's promised to answer your prayers. Will you say, preacher, does God always answer our prayers? Yes, He does, but He doesn't always answer it the way we want, when we want, or how we want. Have you ever noticed that? But He does answer. There's a complexity to this thing. Adoniram Judson said, I never prayed sincerely for anything, but it came. At some time, somehow, in some shape, it came. Now, there's different ways in which God answers prayer. The first way that God answers, the way everybody loves, and that's when God says yes. How many of you like it when God answers your prayers? I love that, don't you? God says yes. Isaiah 65:24, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Have you ever noticed how wonderful it is when you pray and you hardly get the words out of your mouth and God answers? I mean, just boom, there it is. That's exciting, isn't it? And doesn't you wish it was always that way? You know, I always liked it when I was a kid. You know, there was a little corner store up beside my house, and they sold, my wife and I were talking about this. We were watching a baseball game and had big old tubs of that super bubble stuff. I don't know how it comes today. You know, it's just that individually wrapped stuff. You used to buy it for a penny or two. Remember that, when a penny would actually buy some bubble gum? And it come in three flavors. We figured it out. It would come in regular, all right, grape and sour apple. All right, those were the three kinds that it came in. And we'd always go buy that, and I always would like for my dad, I'd get ready to go play little league baseball or minor league, and I'd say, hey dad, I want to walk up store and get some bubble gum, will you give me some money, and so I can go up and buy some bubble gum for me and my team. And you know, I always liked it. Boy, I'm talking, dad's reaching in his pocket and pulling it out, and there it is. And then I come back a little bit later and I say, hey dad, me and my buddies, we're going to go out tonight, and we're going to go up here to the mall, and we're going to eat some pizza, can I have something? And sometimes his hand just didn't go in his pocket quite as quick. Y'all ever notice that? Sort of slowed down a little bit. I always like it when my dad said yes. And you know what? There's times that God answers our prayers both affirmatively and immediately. And we see God answer. And it's an amazing thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's an exciting thing. Sometimes God says yes, but at other times, and this is the second way God answers prayer, He says no. Now, you know what? I don't always like it when I didn't always like it as a child when my parents said no and you didn't either. And no child, listen, they don't always understand why we say no as parents. They don't. They believe we're depriving them, we're holding out on them. And the reality is, listen, mom and dad, and this is going to be a little bit of a parenting thing. Sometimes the best answer we can give our children is no. It is. It's okay to say no. Well, don't say anything negative to them. You can't have a positive if you don't have a negative once in a while. You know what I'm saying? They go together, negative, positive. Y'all with me? 2 + 2 = 4 in North Carolina. Just Boston, Massachusetts, it's 5. Okay? So you know, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay to say no at times in their lives. Sometimes they need to hear. And let me just tell you something. Our Heavenly Father loves us so much. Now watch this. There are times He will say no. The problem is we don't want to accept it. The problem is we want to change His mind. The problem is we want to go on anyway and do what we want. And the reality of it is that when you and I go beyond what God wants to do in our lives is when we get ourselves in trouble, isn't it? And so God says yes, and other times God says no. And there's times that I look back and I say, Lord, thank You for saying no in my life. I didn't understand it at that point. I didn't like it at that point. It wasn't what I wanted at that point. But years later down the road, looking back on that particular area or circumstance, the very best thing God could do in my life was to say no. I'm reminded, it wasn't long ago, we went to the took our young at hearts to the Billy Graham Library, and we were down there looking at all the different things. And it's interesting, his wife said one time, they were talking about being married and all this, she said, if God had always answered my prayer, I would have married the wrong man 3 times. And the reality of it is that you and I would have, listen, if God lets us have our way, we'll get ourselves in trouble every time. And then there's times God says yes, there's times God says no, and then there's times in our lives when God doesn't say yes or no. And those are the tough times. That's when God says, I want you to wait. Can I give you a little truth right here that'll transform and help you? Remember this, God's delays are not always His denials. Just because God delays in answering a prayer doesn't mean that God is not answering the prayer, or He's failing to answer the prayer, or can't answer the prayer, or won't answer the prayer, or has said no in answer to that prayer. Listen, there's times when God has said no in my life and it was unmistakable. And it wasn't necessarily a circumstance. It was just an impression of the heart that I knew as I was talking to God, this was not right. Or I went to the Word of God and God had said something in His Word that let me know this was not right. This is no, it's not for me. That's not God's answer. All right? He said no. But there's times that it's not yes and it's not no. What do I do then, preacher? You wait. You wait. You wait upon the Lord. That's hard. Nobody likes to wait. I don't like to wait. You don't like to wait. It seems like life is hurry up and wait. Have you noticed that? Somebody said if the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If you are wrong, God says grow. But if the request is right and the timing is right and you are right, God says go. Friend, listen, there's times that God wants you and I to grow in order to answer our prayers. You know, I know that there's times as a child that you would want things or I would want things and our parents would say, not now, wait. And you'd think, well, no, I can't have that. But the reality of it is they were waiting for us to get old enough to have what they wanted to give us. Such as I've used this illustration before in my own life, my own preaching, a BB gun. I mean, there was a time, you know, that my son wanted a BB gun. No, no, you can't have it yet. Not that I didn't want him to have the BB gun. He wasn't ready. He wasn't mature enough for it yet. But there was a day I would want to give that to him. And there's times that God is wanting us to mature and to grow and to become more what He wants us to be, so that when He does give us the answer to that prayer, it's right and we handle it and it's what's best in our lives. But then there's times that God, in this matter of wait, gives us something totally different. Have you ever noticed that? He doesn't always give us what we want, church. He gives us what is best. And you know what? I just want to challenge you. Don't settle for His second when you can have His best. Somebody said, well, God has a permissive will. Well, He may. All right, I know He has a perfect will, and there's times that God permits things in our lives. I understand that. But the reality of it is, why do I want His second best when I can have His best? Why should I do that? Friend, want God's best for your life. Want God's best for your family. Want God's best for your future. And be in tune with Him. And it's through prayer that we come in contact with the God who knows life and He knows us and He knows the circumstances of life. He knows the future, friend. He knows better than we do. And when we bring ourselves in alignment with His will, then we can experience His best for our lives. Somebody said, I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked God for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. He went on to write, I got nothing I asked for, but everything I'd hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all people most richly blessed. Isn't that amazing? See, friend, listen, in this matter of prayer, this transforming truth of prayer, it ought to change my life and my understanding of prayer as I recognize that God wants to talk to me. And He wants me to talk to Him. That He desires, that He calls, that He wants me to pray. And then secondly, that when I do pray, God desires to answer my prayers and God wants to bring His best into my life. And it delights the heart of God to bless the lives of His people. And folks, that's not a health and wealth. That's not some kind of a charismatic type thing in that mindset that's trying to make that God, if you just put in your little prayer and you're going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise and all. No. That's not what I'm talking about. But God delights, it delights the heart of God to answer the prayers of His people and to work in our lives and make us who He'd have us to be. That's it. And friend, it's not always getting things. That's what we think. It's not what it is. Sometimes it's just knowing God. You know, it's interesting. Do you know there was a whole tribe in Israel that God didn't give them any land? Everybody else got land. They got an inheritance. This area and that area and that area. He said, but the Levites, you don't get any land. He said, I'm your inheritance, God says. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? God said, you get me. Friend, God wants us to have Him. More than having things. You know, they have these cliches on TV, you know, and you know, that this and that, and for everything else there's MasterCard. Let me just tell you something. MasterCard can't provide everything you and I need in life. This world can't give us everything we need in life to give us fulfillment, to meet the needs of life, to give us hope for the future, to give us direction. But friend, we have a God who can. And then I want you to notice, not only is there an invitation to prayer, an anticipation of prayer, but there's a revelation from prayer. Look at verse number 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. Boy, what a powerful promise. Didn't say might, didn't say could. God said, I will. And show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I've preached on this text many, many times in many, many places, and I've always said this. If I'd been writing or you'd been writing this verse, we would have put the word give instead of show. We would have put that. And we would have read, give thee great and mighty things, because many times that's how we view prayer, that we're going to God just to get something, get something. That's where the cliche. Prayer changes things, all right? I get something from it as a result. God said that's not the purpose of prayer totally. Can God give me things? Absolutely. But is things always what I need? No, it's not. So God said, I'm going to show thee. That's what He says. Somebody said the primary purpose of prayer is not to release God's treasure, but to reveal God's truth. It is a truth that transforms. And so prayer is not to be used, not just to be used for the things that God can give me, as much as it is for the truths that God can teach me. That's it. God wants to teach me. He wants to reveal. He wants to show me, the Bible says. Friends, sometimes God showing or revealing is better than God giving, because sometimes it's not something that I need as much as it is direction or understanding about life that I need. He shows. So here's what's interesting. In the heat of his adversity, Jeremiah gets a prayer promise from God, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee. Because you're going to find that here he is in a difficult place in life and he's lost some clarity. He has. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Because when you read the context of the chapter, it's pretty bad news. Matter of fact, Israel is right now surrounded by our enemies. God's going to say that the nation's going to be defeated by the Babylonians. She's going to go into captivity. The land's going to be desolate of the people because they had rejected God and they had went away from God and rebelled against God. And God had sent prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet to call them back to Him. Sort of sounds like America, doesn't it? And they didn't respond. And God said, I'm going to remove the people from the land. The Babylonians are going to win this battle. They're going to win this war. And Jeremiah lacked clarity of this point as it related to himself, the nation of Israel, his people, his nation, the future. And in this, God's going to give him a promise and show him his future plans for the nation of Israel. He's going to say, listen, right now the siege, the armies are surrounding and there's going to be desolation and destruction and captivity and all of that. But I just want you to know, Jeremiah, that's not the end of the story. I'm going to put them back in the land. There's going to be joy and gladness and happiness. And this is what's going to happen, Jeremiah. And he gave him clarity. So let me give you this and I'm going to close. All right, are you ready? When I understand prayer, here's the transforming truth. When I recognize that prayer, what prayer's about, it's to teach me about God. It's to teach me about life. It's to teach me and give me clarity. Not just things, but clarity. Number one, Jeremiah learned something about God. Do you realize the more we pray, the closer we get to God, the more we commune to Him, the greater the clarity of who God is and what He wants to do in our lives will be. Friend, when you and I are not communing in God with God in prayer, when we are distant from God, it's not clarity that I have, but cloudiness of heart that I have. I don't see things right. Life gets cloudy and confusing and I don't know which way to go. And watch this, we make bad decisions and there's bad outcomes. And you know what the problem is? Preacher, what is it? I'm not in tune with God. That's what it is. And so when I'm communing with God, I'm walking with God, I'm fellowshipping with God, I'm coming to God, and God is communing with me through His Word, and I'm communing with God in prayer, it gives me clarity about who God is and what He wants to do in my life. And friend, let me just tell you something. The knowledge of God is the greatest knowledge that anybody can ever have. To know Him. To know that my sins are forgiven, to know that heaven's my home. What greater clarity can I have for my future than to know that when I leave this life that I'm going to be with God in heaven? There's no greater clarity than that. To know that my sins are forgiven, that I'm saved, and that my eternity is settled in Jesus Christ. Friend, listen. Hey, do you know what? If you don't know Jesus Christ, your future's cloudy right now. You have no idea about your eternity. And God doesn't want you to live that way. God said He wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. This matter of knowing whether or not we go to heaven, God doesn't want us to be confused about that. God said, "These things have I written unto you," 1 John 5:13, "that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." God said, "I want you to know it." Man, do you have clarity about your eternity? Do you know if you died you'd go to heaven? Do you know that? Do you have that 100% assurance in your heart today? Well, that's something every person ought to have. You ought not leave this building without that clarity and that assurance in your life. That's something clear that every person can know. But not just my eternity, but about life itself. And as I understand God and His plans, His purposes. See, Jeremiah lost clarity because he was in this prison house and all these things were happening around him. And it was confusing and he lacked clarity. And God said, "Let me just call unto me and I'm going to show you some things, Jeremiah. I'm going to give you some clarity." How many of you need clarity in your life about a situation or a circumstance or a problem or an area of your life or your family? Aren't you glad that there's a God who knows and can give me clarity? The second thing, he's going to learn something about himself. He's going to learn something about himself. You say, "Preacher, what's he going to learn about himself?" Jeremiah doesn't have all the answers. You say, "Well, that was simple." It sure is, isn't it? Because can I just remind us today, you and I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. I used to, as a young preacher, think that I used to have an answer. I used to have an answer for everything. Somebody come to me and I'm a young preacher and here's what God's doing. Or here, but you know what the reality of it is? I don't always know what God's doing in everybody's life. And I don't have to know. I don't. And the reality of it is, we don't have all the answers, but I'm glad God does. Aren't you? Can I tell you that greater than God giving us what we want in life is God showing us how to live life? And you know what? One of the best things that you and I can ever do is come to grips with the fact that we don't have all the answers and God does. And here's what God says. Here's a prayer promise. "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally." That's pretty powerful, isn't it? And then here's the third thing and I'm done. Not only learn prayer, transforming truth, he learned something about God. Friend, in prayer, as you commune with God in His Word and prayer, you're going to learn things about God and you're going to know Him in ways that are beyond your imagination. God shows Himself to us through His Word, through answered prayer, through working in our lives. He shows us things about ourselves. Have you ever stopped while you're praying and listened? Now, God doesn't say, "Kevin," He doesn't do that. But have you ever just stopped and let God impress on your heart things from His Word? Maybe there's some times in prayer we just need to stop a moment. We just need to pause. It's okay to pray with your Bible next to you. Have you ever had a verse just come to your mind Wonder where that came from. You ever thought maybe the Holy Spirit has brought a verse to your mind that you've remembered or you've read, or a truth? Maybe this matter of communing, maybe we're not good listeners. Maybe we're good talkers, but we're not good listeners when it comes to this matter of talking with God and communing with Him. And then here's the last one about life itself. Life was never, and here's what I jotted down, life was never meant to be handled alone. God never intended for me to handle life alone. He didn't. He didn't design it that way. He didn't design me that way. He didn't design you that way. Life was meant to be lived with Him. I'm not talking about just in His immediate presence in heaven. I'm talking about daily walking with God. Conscious of His presence. Are you conscious of the fact that God is with you? Are you? That He's in you? Do you practice the presence of God in your life? By the way, that's not a feeling. I don't always have to feel God to know God's there, because see, we don't live by sight or feelings. We live by faith, right? And so we practice the presence of God, that God is there, taking hold of God's promises, believing Him that He's at work in my life. Now let's look at this and I'm done. And show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That word show is an agricultural term, and it means to clip. It means to take and clip a cluster of grapes, someone clipping that and handing it down, reaching up and taking that I cannot get on my own, and then making it available to me. That's the idea here. And God said that He's going to show us things that are inaccessible to everyone but Him. Let me ask you a question. What is beyond your reach, your knowledge, your ability? What great and mighty thing? God said, I'm going to show you great and mighty things. What's beyond you today? What is it that you need from God? What clarity, what direction, what answer to prayer? You see, God has the answer. God is able. And God said, call unto me. There's the invitation. I will answer thee. There's the anticipation. And show thee. There is the revelation. And sometimes it's direction. Sometimes it's clarity. Sometimes it's God answering a tangible prayer and putting something in my hand. It can be any number of things that it is. But God said, I'm going to show you. It may be bringing back a wayward son or daughter or mother or father. It could be a health issue, a family issue, an emotional. It could be any number of things. But we need God, because it's beyond us. Little boy was out in the yard trying to move an old heavy stove. He was huffing, puffing, grunting, groaning, struggling, straining, sighing, trying. He couldn't budge it. All the while, his father was sort of watching with amusement as his son tried with no success to move that old stove out of the way of where he was wanting to play and do things. After a little while, the little boy sort of dejectedly slumped down beside the old stove in exhaustion. And the father walked over to him and he said, son, can you not move that old stove? And the little boy said, no, sir. He said, well, have you used all your strength? And the little boy said, yes, sir, I've given it everything I've got. And the father said, well, no, you've not used all your strength yet, because you haven't asked me yet. And friend, there's times that there's going to be things in life that are bigger than you and me. And we're going to sigh and try and struggle and strain and grunt and groan. And God is waiting for us to come to Him, because He has the strength, He has the clarity, He has the ability to work it in my life in ways and transform me in ways that no one or nothing else can. For in the transforming truth of prayer, God said, I will show thee. What is it that you need to bring to God this morning? Maybe here you need, as I mentioned earlier, clarity about your eternity. Maybe you're not sure you're saved today. Can I tell you, the greatest thing you can ever do is come to Christ. Let Him save you today. Christian, you're struggling, straining. Maybe you're in a situation. Maybe you've been driven to your knees. Any number of things. But God spoke into your heart about a matter, an area, a circumstance of your life. Maybe God's waiting on you to bring it to Him afresh and new with an open, honest heart for God to show you today. To show you. And let Him work and be transforming in your life, your future. And by the way, God's transforming is not always a wow thing. Sometimes God's transforming me and I don't even realize it. And I look back and think, wow, I'm different now. Why don't you let God work in your life and have His way? Why don't you bring it to Him this morning in prayer?